is Daf Mem Vav, and the Gemara says around 8 lines down, the 2 dots, Tanur Rabbanim. Very interesting case here, Tver Halach Lamaisa, that Nischalfu Lo Kelim BeKelim BeBeis HaUman. Let's say the dry cleaners give you back the wrong shirt or wrong suit. Hareza Yishtamish Ben Ad Sheyavo Halav Yitel Shelo. You're allowed to use that shirt or that coat or that suit that wasn't yours that they handed back to you until the rightful owner, he finds you. Because seemingly the dry cleaners gave him your clothing, so you guys, at the time being, you guys could wear each other's clothing until it's returned. But that's only when it comes to Beis Uman. However, when it comes to Beis Avel or Beis HaMishta, everyone's hanging up their coats, and the way out, they take the wrong coat. Or in Shul, more likely, they take the wrong coat. So that din hareze lo yishamish ben ad shevo hala vital shelo. You cannot use the other person's coat if it's not yours. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. What's the difference whether you get the wrong coat from the dry cleaners or the wrong coat from Shul? Either way, either both cases you should be allowed to wear, both cases you shouldn't be allowed to use the property. So Amar Rav says, Haviyasivna kame di Chavivi. I was sitting in front of Chavivi, but Amar Li, and he says to me, their explanation is when it comes to the Beis Uman, V'chi ein adam asu lomar luman machuli talisi. Is it so far-fetched to say that you give a coat to the dry cleaners and say, you know what? I want you to sell it. I know a lot of people are coming in and out of this store here. You could sell my coat. So we're talking about a case here where this coat was up for sale. So now even though he gave it to me, I wasn't buying any coats. He gave it to me instead of my actual own coat. I'm allowed to wear that coat because the owner of the coat was ready to sell it off. So it's a situation where the dry cleaners knew that they missed it. They lost my coat somewhere. So take this coat in the interim until we find your coat, and that's the case where it's permitted, where it was given with the das of the owner to be used by somebody else. As opposed to the Beis Avel, the Beis Mishta, or again, Beis HaKnesses, I would add in, then the owner doesn't give you the right to use the other coat. And the Gemara qualifies this halacha and says, Amar Rav Chia Brei de Rav Nachman Lo Shanu Elohu. This is only true if the owner of the dry cleaners, the man, gives it over, because he understands whose property is whose and who told who to sell which coat. Aval Ishto Banav Lo, but his wife or his children, who are not really familiar with all the different details and the coats that are in the dry cleaners, Lo, they do not have the right to give it over. And if they accidentally give you the wrong coat, you are not allowed to use it. V'hu nami, it's also, even if the Baal HaBayis gives you the wrong coat, and we assume normally he did this intentionally because he gave it to you until he finds your coat, nami lo amrin, we also only permit that, ella damer le talis stam, here's a talis, here's a coat, here's a shirt to wear. Aval taliskhav, he says, this is your talis, lo, because hai lav talis didehu, this is not your talis. So if you say, I want my shirt, he said, here's a shirt. So by saying, stam, here's your shirt, here's your coat, you're allowed to wear it. But if he says, oh, here's your shirt, then that's incorrect because you know it's not your shirt and it wasn't given bidas from the owner of the dry cleaners, in which case you are not allowed to wear. So this comes up, halach l'maisa, they talk in the poskim about you take the wrong coat home from shul. This oftentimes happens. Let's say you go back to the courtroom and said, someone stole my coat. The guy must have confused it with this one here. It's the same exact coat, but it doesn't say my name. Are you allowed to take that coat home and wear it? So the Aruch HaShulchan says here that the practice was in many places that people were not makbid in switching coats and switching shoes, and therefore if the guy takes the wrong coat, you can take his coat until you guys figure out who has whose coat. Now Rav Moshe quotes his Aruch HaShulchan and says this seems to be the minhag, but not every place has such a minhag, so a shul should really have a sign saying that if you take the wrong coat, realize that someone else is going to take your coat and has the right to use it until you guys return each other's coat. And that's what should really be done. That's what's brought down in Rav Moshe. Fine. The Gemara says the last 6 lines of the page here. Amar Le Abaye. Abaye says to Rava, Ta Achvei Lecha, I want to show you the Ramai of Pumbedisa Mai Avdi. The people of Pumbedisa were known as tricksters. There are other Gemaras that indicate this as well. Unfortunately, we have groups of people amongst the Jews who are known. I've heard Rabbanim say, stay away from this particular group of people because they do shady business. And we all know different groups who do that. Unfortunately, we are stereotyping, but it exists. And he in the Gemara, Abaye says, look what the Ramayim of Pumbedisa, what they would do. Amaleya, they would say, Havli Sarvali, give me back my, whatever, what's that type of hat maybe? Scarf?
It says cloak.
Cloak, well, give me my cloak back. And I gave you my cloak to clean for me. You never gave me anything. So Ha'ashli Sadi Dechazi Begavcha. I've aided them that saw that you had it. What do you mean you don't have it? I'm like, no. Hahu Achrina Hava. That was a different shirt. That wasn't your shirt. Safkinu V'Nechseni. So let me see it. Show me that shirt and let's have aided them take a look whether this is your shirt or this is my shirt. So Amar Lei, so the owner of the dry cleaner says, Ibra, is this true? Lo mafikna, I'm not going to take my clothing out because you're making a tie and I'm going to empty my whole wardrobe out because you want to investigate every single shirt? You have no right. And that's what the people of Pumbedisa would oftentimes do. So Amar Rava, Rava says, Shapir Kamerlei. No, what do you mean? The owner of the dry cleaner has a good taina. He, because a guy makes a taina on him, he has to show his whole wardrobe to the world? That's a fair taina. So the Gemara says now, Shapir Kamerlei. So it says, Ra, Tanya, it says Ra. Only if he saw it. I claim that I gave you a few weeks ago my shirts and now I don't see it anymore. I have no claim right now that you have it. So only if I see it am I able to claim it. But right now I don't see it. So I have no right to claim from the owner of the dry cleaners to see all his clothing. So comes along Amar Rashi. Rashi says, you know, the way to respond to such a trickster, such a Ramai, what you should do is, Vi Chacham, if your guy's a Chacham, what I should do, I'm asking for my shirt back, Mashri Lei Ra, make him into a situation where you do see it. How do you do that? Dharma Lei, you say to the guy, you whisper, Rashbam says, you tell him on the side here, you pull him over and says, Amai Tfisas Lei, why are you holding on to my shirt? La Mishum Dislacha Gavai, is that because you have money? I have money that I owe you, right? That's why I owe you money. Let's work out a deal here. Hashaf Kina Vishaminu, take out your shirt, let's assess the value of it, and Shaka Adidach, and I'll pay you the money back, and Shashko Anadidin, I'll take my shirt back, we'll make a deal. Listen, I owe you money, okay, I owe you $100, you take out my $60 shirt, and you'll get your $100. So that was his claim, and this way he'll hopefully show the shirt, you'll have Adim, you see it, then you can take it from him, and you owe him no money. That's not considered his chayvah, so you're just trying to trick him back into returning your shirt. So Amar Lei Rav Acha Brei de Rav Avyel Rav Ashi, say to Rav Ashi, it's not really such a, he's not going to work. These guys are smarter than that. Because Matzi Amar Lei, they're going to say, Lo tzrichanacha, l'shum edidach, I don't need your assessment. I don't really need this at all. Because Kfar Shemua Kamai Dukamach, I people already assessed the value of the shirts here, and the shirt doesn't meet the payment that you owe me, so I'm just going to hold on to the shirt here, and then we'll leave it at that. And therefore you're stuck. So I'm not sure what's being accomplished from this Gemara here, why we're saying what the tricksters of Pumbedisa would be doing, but that's what they would be doing. That was the type of games they would play. Okay. I've heard the games they play nowadays, some of these groups of people, they would order a custom-made furniture, custom-made something, which of course worth more money for a custom-made anything. And then after they start making it, they say, okay, fine, I'm going to pay half the price of what I told you. And they're like, what do you mean? And he goes, oh, I'm like, no, if you want, I'm not interested. I only want to pay half the price. And now the company's stuck with this custom-made product, which they can't sell unless it's only sellable to the one who wanted it custom-made. They can't sell it part of the general market. And they play games like this, so I've heard. Okay. Gemara says, Aris ain lo techazaka. And Aris, a sharecropper who's working on my property, where he takes a certain percentage of the produce, he cannot create a chazaka. So the Gemara says, Amai, why not? Adha in Palga of Hashakula. It's a very good chazaka. Up until now, he's been working on 50% of my fields and taking only 50% of the crops. Now he's taking 100%. So shouldn't that be a clear indication that I sold it to him and there's a full chazaka? So Gemara says, no. Amir Yochanan, what we're talking about here is a barisei bate avos. We're talking about a whole family history of arisim, of them working on my property as being sharecroppers, so they wouldn't have a chazaka. And Rashbam explains here that it's a field of families, that for many, many generations, the parents and grandparents have been working as sharecroppers, and they never let anybody else work on the property. So the way it worked is where the sharecroppers would eat 2-3 years in a row, and then afterwards the Baal would eat 2-3 years, and they would never split up the property 50% 50. It was 3 years for the sharecroppers, 3 years for the owners, and back and forth. So that's a situation where we say the aris cannot have a chazaka. But if it's a typical aris, whereby each year is splitting 50%, and then the next 3 years the sharecropper is taking full 100%, so that would be a good indicator that he has a chazaka and he owns the property. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Aris shehorid arisin tachdav yeshlo chazaka. Let's say you have the contractor. Let's say the guy overseeing the job, and then he hires subcontractors doing all the small little stuff. So a one big aris hires small many arisim to work the property. That can create a chazaka. Why? My time. What's the reason for this? Because a person wouldn't let other sharecroppers who they didn't invite work on their property. So if I have I hire a certain contractor to work my house, let's say, then the next day I see some other contractor working there. So I'm going to say, what are you doing in my house here? And the fact that it went on for several months and several years, a guy working on my property without saying anything, clearly indicates I must have sold it to the first contractor, and he hired other contractors to work the property. That's what's going on here as well. And that's when an aris can create a chazaka if they have other arisim working below them, and the initial owner doesn't complain. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan now says, aris shechalak larisin ein lo chazaka. Let's say even aris, who Rashi calls Shabbati Avos, if he has been a family business for many, many generations. And Rashbam explains, it's five wide lines down. Shechalak larisin lechalechan maser lasos chelko basada. He gave it, he split up the property, it was a large property, he gave different sharecroppers to work on that land. But Gabhu Oseimane, he did one corner and the other three guys did the other corners of the property. That situation is ein lo chazaka, that is not a good chazaka. My time, and what's the reason, says the Gemara? Emer harmonia ba'alma shavya. Rashbam explains what this means is, rishus nasnu lo, lahorid arisin imo im tarechu lalasas levado. That the owner gave the sharecropper the right to pass on some of the business to other people as well, as long as the initial aris is still working the property, so he's overseeing everything else, and that's where it's okay. It's only a situation if the aris mamish passes off the work to other arisim who were not hired by the initial owner, only that is a situation where you create a chazaka. But if the main aris is still working, he just has some helpers, that would not generate a chazaka. Gemara now says, Shalach le Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, the Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. Okay, so interesting, just a point here about who Rav Nachman is. Look at Tosos on the top here. Tosos writes, Shalach le Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, le Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, Rav Nachman stam. When you see Rav Nachman stam throughout the Shas, which we see many times, Shebechol Gemara, who Rav Nachman bar Yaakov? The one that appears here in the Gemara, Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. Teda, what's the proof? The Bechol Gemara, lo timsa Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, Niskar Shema. We never find Rav Nachman's mentioned in Vishem Aviv, his name. It's always mentioned Rav Nachman. The only time we mention Rav Nachman bar Yaakov is El Emken Yesh Rav Nachman Acher Etzlo, unless he's having a discussion with another Rav Nachman. In this case, it's Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista. So we have to distinguish who is which, as not to get confused. So just like Hacha. And the Yushalmi as well, Pligi Bechal Makom, we always find that Rav Nachman bar Yaakov always argues with Rav Sheshes. Mashmer Dehu Rav Nachman Stam. Dupar Pluks to the Rav Sheshes, Big Amar Shalano. He's the one who's arguing Rav Sheshes, as we're about to see. So actually, we're not about to see this here, but I'm not sure we don't see that here, how they're arguing, but it seems from the Yushalmi Tosos says that Rav Nachman Stam is Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, but then he writes, V'lo kimo, this is not like Shemashma mitoch perish akuntris, besov perk kolaget, that the Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak have a chasne debes nisiyah dainu Rav Nachman Stam. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, who everybody agrees was the son-in-law of the Nasi, so he is Rav Nachman Stam, says Rashi. So who is Rav Nachman Stam? Rabbeinu Tam and Tosos think it's Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, while Rashi thinks it's Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Okay. So what was the message that was sent? So the Gemara again says, Shalach le Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista le Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, please teach us. Aris meid o eino meid. Can an aris testify that the property that he's working on is really owned by the owner who claims? Could he come in and give testimony for the owner? So the Gemara answers, Havayasir Rav Yosef Kame. Rav Yosef happened to be sitting there when Rav Nachman bar Yaakov received this letter. And Amar Leh, he says, Hachi Amar Shmuel. He says, Shmuel said, Aris Meid. The Aris is allowed to testify. Ah, but doesn't Mahatanya Eino Meid? But doesn't the Bryce also say that an Aris may not testify? So Lokasha, Hadika Pir Ba'ara, Hadaleka Pir Ba'ara. It depends. If the sharecropper has already collected his fruit for that season, so then he has no skin in the game anymore. He's not no geir be'edus, so he is allowed to testify. If he still has ha'ika pira ba'ara, if he still hasn't collected his produce for that land, so then he's obviously no geir be'edus. He wants the owner to hold on to it so he could collect his fruit later. Then he is no geir be'edus, and that's when we say in the Braisa that the aris is eino meir. That's the halacha. Now, look at Rashbam for a second. Around halfway down, the medium wide lines down, it says, Deleka Pir Ba'ara. If there's no land in the property, so then he means he already collected, he's allowed to testify. V'gam lo tarach ba'aris klum b'shanazu, matzi lahayid. Also, if he didn't work at all on this land, he's allowed to testify. Delo marviach midei b'hai edis. He doesn't get any benefit from this testimony. But v'im mishum mishim nishar karka b'yad ruvein, haya moridu b'arisis. So what is that? But maybe the next year he's going to go down to that property. So this year he already collected his produce. But isn't there a concern that next year he's going to make more money? So it's beneficial for him to have the owner hold on to the property because he's working in this business next year as well. So it says Rashbam harbe yimatze sad barisus. You don't know. There's no guarantee. He might work for somebody else. Maybe the owner's going to find a different sharecropper. So what I would assume from this Rashbam, if there's a contract, a five-year contract, whereby he is working the land, so seemingly even though this year he collected this fruit, it's still going to be nogeh v'davar, and I would imagine he would be pasul edus. This is a case where there are seemingly only annual contracts. Okay. Gemara now says something very interesting. I mentioned this to Yechiel yesterday. When I turned the page, the Gemara says, Amalek is simon. It's very, very apropos for today, of course, that the mnemonic for the upcoming sugyas is Amalek. Because of course, today is Tainus Esther. Now the poskim try to figure out. They ask the question. If I remember correctly, I think the Chasam Sofer asks this question. Is we try to get rid of the name Amalek. We try to erase it. Why would we use it as a simon and to write more Amalek? And the answer, I believe, he says, is that when you're using Amalek for Torah, that's the antithesis of what they represented, what they stood for. That's the best way to fight against Amalek. When we learn and when we use them to learn, that's the best approach against them. So that's why it's permitted here. I think that's what the Chasam Sofer writes. Okay, so let's go through. Exactly. By learning it is the accomplishing Mechias Amalek. There is a Taras Kohanim which says this as well. By reading Parsha Zachar, this week's Parsha, that is a kiyum of Mechias Amalek. I think that's how the Ravid understands it in Taras Kohanim. I don't remember exactly. Now you said today is davening to 7:20?
Yeah,
okay, fine. So let's... I think we can try to push it to the top of the next page. Let's see. Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, Arev made the Lovin, and Arev, a cosigner. So the cosigner, he's backing up the Lovin. If the Lovin doesn't pay, so the Arev is willing to pay the money to the bank. So he's allowed to testify that the Lovin has a property, but what do you mean? Isn't that going to be beneficial for him? Because if the Lovin has a property, so the bank's going to go after the loan, after the land, rather, and not come after me, the Arev. So how am I allowed to testify on his behalf? That's a Nogeh Be'edus. So Gemara says, "Behuda islay arach risi." It's only if the lova has another property whereby the bank could collect from it. So if I say he also has a second property, which is not really going to change the situation, they're not coming after me anyways because he already has a first property to collect from. That's when the arev can testify. But if the lova has no other property other than the property I'm testifying that he has right now, that is direct no gebedavar, and I cannot testify. A malva meir lelova, a malva the bank could testify that a lova the borrower has the property. Isn't that beneficial? Because the bank says, you have the property, I'm testifying you have it, and now when the lova doesn't pay, I could collect from that property. So that's going to benefit me as being the bank. Isn't that no gebe edus? And the Gemara says again, no, v'hud isle arach risi. As long as the lova has another property, a place where I could collect from, so if I testify that he's a second and third property, that doesn't affect my relationship. I've already have established land I could collect from, so that would not be no gebe edus, and I'm allowed to testify. So you have two different buyers. So two people buy from a lova. A lova borrows money. He sells to Andy and sells to me. Now, if he doesn't pay money, the bank's going to come after both of us. So I don't want to be the only one that they go after. So I'm going to say that Andy also has property to go after that he bought from the initial lova. So I can't testify because by me testifying Andy has a property from this guy, just like I do, he could go after Andy just like he goes after me, and I'm protecting myself. That's no gebe edus. So the Gemara says, I am allowed to testify that he has a property as well, because it's the only situation where the lova has another property already where the bank could collect from. So the fact that I'm saying Andy also has a property that he bought from Ruvain the lova, that doesn't change anything, and that too is not considered no gebe edus. And then finally, the last situation, the Gemara says, on the top of Mem Zayin, is a Kablam. A Kablam who is an Arev, but he's an Arev, where normally an Arev, a cosigner, is he only steps in if the Lova can't pay. But a Kablam is a guy who's willing to pay even if the Lova has money. So the Kablam says, listen, you have, as a bank, you have the right to go after him or go after me, up to you. But he's putting himself at risk more than a Stam Arev. So in the case of the Kablam, Amrile Eidomeid. Some people say he could testify. Other people say he cannot testify. Why? Amrile Meid Arev Dami. Some say he could testify because he's like an Arev. I mean, if the Lova has enough money, enough land to pay back already, and I'm testifying that he has another property, that's not going to change anything. The bank is going after him, so I'm allowed to testify. But Amrile, others say Eidomeid. I'm not allowed to testify that he has a property. Why? I'm I rather the Lova have two properties, because now when the bank's deciding who they're going to go after, so if the Lova has more properties to choose from, chances are they're going to go after the Lova's property because they have more of an option. If they're going to go after me, I only have one option. So if I, as the Kaplan, have one land, and you as a Lova have one property, it's 50-50 he's going to go after one of us. But if I say you have a second property, so now two-thirds of the chance he's going to go after you and only one-third after me, so that puts me in a better situation, and therefore that is considered noge beidus, and I will not be able to testify. So that's the machlokas by a kablan. Okay, quickest daf, I think, of the year.